Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, King of Capital by David Carey and John E. Morris is a business history and narrative nonfiction account of Steve Schwarzman and the Blackstone Group. Set against the emergence of modern private equity from the 1980s through the years surrounding the global financial crisis, rather than functioning as a technical handbook. The book explains the people, incentives, deal environment, and capital market changes that shaped the industry, using Blackstone as the central case. It follows Blackstone from its beginnings as a small advisory partnership into a major alternative asset manager, describing how the firm expanded into buyouts, real estate, and related businesses as opportunities shifted. Along the way, the authors clarify how leveraged buyouts work at a practical level, why financing conditions matter, and how reputation and relationships drive access to deals and investors. The purpose is to show how a firm is built in a competitive, cyclical industry, and how leadership decisions, timing, and risk management can determine survival and long-term success. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building Blackstone from an advisory boutique into a platform business. A central topic is how Blackstone evolved from a small mergers and acquisitions advisory shop into a diversified alternative investment firm. The book emphasizes that early success was not only about spotting deals, but also about establishing credibility with corporate clients, lenders, and institutional investors. In advisory work, reputation compounds, delivering on mandates leads to larger assignments, which builds networks that later become critical for sourcing investments and raising capital. The narrative also shows how a platform mindset differs from a one-off deal mindset. Blackstone gradually assembled repeatable capabilities such as fundraising, transaction execution, and portfolio oversight, while also creating internal processes that allowed it to operate across market cycles. The firm's shift into principal investing reflects a broader industry movement where advisory firms and banks spun out or built investment arms to capture more of the economics. Readers see the trade-offs that come with that evolution, including higher risk, more scrutiny, and the need for strong governance when managing other people's money. The topic helps explain why scale, brand, and institutionalization became decisive advantages in modern private equity. Secondly, how leveraged buyouts work and why financing regimes shape outcomes. The book devotes significant attention to the mechanics of leveraged buyouts and the reality that capital structure often determines whether a deal succeeds. It explains the basic logic of using borrowed money to amplify equity returns, while also highlighting the fragility that leverage introduces when cash flows weaken or refinancing markets tighten. The narrative places LBOs in their historical financing context, including the rise of high-yield debt in the 1980s and later shifts towards syndicated loans and large institutional credit markets. This matters because the availability and pricing of debt can expand or shrink the universe of feasible transactions, influencing both valuations and competition among sponsors. The book also shows that private equity is not purely financial engineering. Debt provides a framework, but operational performance, asset sales, and strategic repositioning are often required to meet obligations and realize value. By linking deal activity to broader credit conditions, the authors make clear why private equity booms and busts are tied to cycles in liquidity and risk appetite. The result is a grounded explanation of how modern buyouts are structured and where their key vulnerabilities sit. Thirdly, risk management, timing, and a counter-cyclical investing mindset. Another important theme is that private equity returns are highly sensitive to timing, especially when firms invest in cyclical industries or rely on buoyant exit markets. The book portrays Blackstone as striving to be disciplined about risk, learning from periods when leverage or optimism in the market became excessive. A recurring idea is that long-duration capital can be an advantage, compared with public market managers who may be judged against short-term benchmarks. Private equity firms can sometimes wait for better entry points, restructure businesses away from quarterly pressure, and choose exits when markets are receptive. At the same time, patience is not free, holding periods extend, financing costs accumulate, and fund level constraints still exist. The narrative illustrates that risk management in private equity is not just about conservative leverage, but also about portfolio construction, sector selection, and realism about exit conditions. It also highlights reputational risk and relationship risk, which can affect fundraising and deal flow for years. This topic makes the book valuable for understanding private equity as a cyclical business, where survival depends on restraint when others are overconfident. Fourthly, diversification beyond buyouts, including real estate and broader alternatives. The book describes Blackstone's expansion beyond classic corporate buyouts into other strategies, most notably real estate, as part of a broader push to become a multi-strategy alternative asset manager. This diversification is presented as both an opportunity and a strategic hedge. Different asset classes respond differently to economic conditions. And fee models can provide steadier revenue when transaction volumes slow. Real estate investing, in particular, lets a firm apply private equity-style skills such as sourcing, structuring, and active management to tangible assets whose valuations can swing sharply with credit availability and sentiment. The narrative also underscores that diversification is not simply adding products. It requires specialized talent, distinct underwriting frameworks, and operational capabilities suited to each strategy. The authors connect this evolution to changes in institutional demand, as pensions, endowments, and sovereign funds increased allocations to alternatives and sought large managers with broad offerings. For readers, the key takeaway is how a firm can scale by building multiple investment engines while maintaining a coherent brand and fundraising machine. It also clarifies why the modern private equity leader increasingly resembles a diversified asset manager. Lastly, leadership, culture, and the institutionalization of dealmaking. Beyond transactions, the book focuses on leadership and firm building, using Steve Schwarzman as the primary lens. It explores how ambition, negotiation skill, and a strong competitive drive can propel growth while also requiring discipline to translate personal leadership into a durable institution. In private equity, culture is a strategic asset because the business depends on attracting talent, winning auctions, and sustaining investor confidence over decades. The narrative highlights how decision-making structures, partner incentives, and internal standards evolve as a firm grows from a small partnership into a large organization. It also shows the constant tension between entrepreneurial speed and institutional controls, particularly when managing multiple funds and strategies under public and regulatory scrutiny. Another dimension is relationship management with investors, corporate boards, lenders, and advisors. These relationships influence access to capital and deal opportunities, and they can be damaged by short-term behavior. By treating private equity as a people and process business, not just a math problem, the book offers a realistic view of how firms professionalize, protect their franchises, and compete over long horizons in an industry where trust is an important currency. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who want to understand how private equity became a dominant force in modern finance through the story of one of its most prominent firms. Finance professionals, investors, and MBA-level readers will gain a practical sense of how buyouts are financed, why credit cycles matter, and what it takes to raise capital and maintain credibility with institutions. General business readers who enjoy corporate and Wall Street histories will also find it accessible because it explains concepts through narrative rather than textbook formulas. The intellectual benefit is a clearer map of the private equity ecosystem: advisors, lenders, limited partners, and portfolio companies, and how incentives and market structure shape behavior. Practically, the book reinforces lessons about risk control, timing, and the value of building repeatable capabilities rather than relying on isolated wins. It stands out from earlier, more sensational accounts of 1980s deal culture by focusing on the industry's maturation into a more institutional, diversified model, while still acknowledging setbacks and cyclical stress. As a result, it works both as a biography-driven business story and as an industry history that helps readers interpret how major alternative managers operate and why they endure. If you would like to support David Carey, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.